morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to be here with you this morning. And I am a little nervous to be sharing the word, but I'm excited too. So thank you for your continued encouragement and your prayers leading into this. To know me, you would have to know my friend. Those are just some lyrics from a Lauren Daigle song that I like. The song is called To Know Me. Lauren Daigle is a Christian singer, and when she's singing this song, To Know Me, you'd have to know my friend. The friend she's referring to is Jesus. And this song struck me because she can share every little thing that she knows about herself or how she feels about things. But even if she shares every little detail, you can't fully know her unless you know her friend, Jesus. Her life is so intertwined, and she's living her life fully for Jesus. Part of my relationship with Jesus is that he is my friend. And it's awesome that he doesn't just want us to know about him. He wants us to know him personally, to know him intimately, to know him as a friend. And I'm still learning every day about what it's like to know Jesus and to have him as a friend. But I'm grateful that in his word, I understand and am confident that he invites us to be his friend. And I'm also grateful that he sets examples for us and we can know what it's like to be his friend and why we get to have him as a friend and how we can remain his. We're not just on our own to try to figure it out. When I think about how Jesus is a friend, I think about how he is a good friend. He is a much better friend than I am or ever could be. I might not always be there. I might not always be the most faithful or the most loving, but he is perfectly faithful. He is perfectly loving. And I am blessed to have friends that I love deeply, even though I'm not a perfect friend, and I know that I received their love for me as well. And my hope and prayer for all of my friends, for all the people that I care for, and for the people that I don't even know, is that they would find Jesus as a friend. I know that not all of my friends know Jesus as a friend. But for those who know me, they know that Jesus is my friend. So although they might not have that relationship with him, they can see that through me. And that is encouraging to me. And it has encouraged me to share this message with you today so that you are reminded, or maybe even hearing for the first time, that Jesus is a friend and he wants to be friends with you. So we have addressed Jesus is a friend. I've already said it multiple times. What is extra amazing about this is that he can be that for everyone. Everyone who accepts them as their savior. Anyone can have that relationship with him once you accept him as your savior. Everyone can get to know him as a friend. So today we are going to look at this example in the Bible and try to dive into the message and understand the context of which this was shared for this specific passage. And we're going to think and pray about how we can accept this and live this out in our lives today. So we're going to start by reading the word. So if you'd like to read along, there's some Bibles that are spread out throughout the church under the seats in front of you if you'd like to grab one. And my awesome husband, Andrew, is also supposed to be putting all of the verses on the screen for you as well. All right, so we're going to start by reading John 15, 12 through 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example that it is to us, and that you can speak through your word even today, that it can apply to our lives. ask that you would speak through me, Lord, as I share your word, that you would open the hearts of all who are listening, and that you would just bless us during this time. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and being present with us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So in the context of this passage, John 15, 12 through 17, Jesus is speaking. He's the one actually saying these words. And he's speaking to his disciples. We've learned earlier in the Gospels that these disciples are people who have been following Jesus as his servant. And they have been honored and privileged to be a servant to Jesus. And this night in particular that he's speaking to them happens to be one of the last nights that he's speaking to them, to his disciples, before his sacrifice on the cross. And it's really profound that though they've been honored and privileged to be a servant to Jesus, one of the last things that he's sharing with them is that, yes, they can know him as their Savior, as the Son of God, but they can also know him as a companion. They can know him as a friend. So they know and they've understood that he has come as the Son of God to save those who believe in him by dying on the cross. And now he gets to tell them that this relationship with them is much more intimate, and it's not just ending here. So this scripture, if we look back at the different verses, provides evidence of how he is a friend. These are the ones that stood out to me as I was preparing this message. So we're going to look again at verses 12 through 13. That one said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So in this verse, we see evidence that Jesus has a command for us, but he's living it out. And to me, this is a sincere demonstration of friendship. He isn't just giving a command and telling what to do and then not leading by example, but he's living out the command for us. And it's a great command, love, to be living out. So he's proving that he treasures his friends in a sincere way. Verse 15 also has another place that we can look back and see as evidence as a friend. He said, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." In this, we see that Jesus is revealing his truth to us, that he is a loyal friend. He is not always like, he has made known always who he is and what he's there to do. And that is special and intimate because he is so superior. Even though he is, we can still know him on a level that we understand. And verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." First of all, being chosen is an awesome feeling, and he chose us. That's a great way to feel in a friendship, in a relationship. And he's a generous friend. He wants to teach us. He wants to set an example for us. And he also wants to allow us to receive the gift of his Father, that we can ask anything in his name, in Jesus' name, and that we can receive it from the Father. And that also kind of, and I interpret it in my way that he's always there too, that at any time we can ask something in Jesus' name and we're being heard and we can receive it. So like I said, those are just some of the examples in that passage that stood out to me. You can reread this passage and God might reveal to you in your own way his examples of how he's a friend. And there's lots of other examples throughout scripture, even in the Old Testament, of friendships. So God might have different ways that he'll reveal this to you. In this passage, another thing that stood out to me is that Jesus is emphasizing the importance of love. So we saw it, and we know in the context that he's speaking directly to his disciples, but even as I'm sharing these examples, I'm saying us, I'm saying we. And that's really cool that we can apply that to us today. So yes, at the time, he was speaking directly to his disciples, but now Even though we weren't like physically there at that time and we're actually standing and seeing Jesus face to face, the scripture can apply to us and it's true for us. So if you trust and believe in him and open your hearts to him, this can be true to you, which again just emphasizes the importance of his love for us and how we can feel that love and how he wants to be our friend. So we are chosen by him. And having a friendship with him is an honor and a privilege. It's a close relationship with him. I'm privileged to have had, I have friends. I hope we all have friends. I'm privileged to have one of my friends for over half of my life. She's my close friend as a child. We lived just one house down from each other. We spent nearly every day of summer playing. I have lots of memories with her, and I remember missing her on one of the family trips that she went on. It felt like a long time. It was probably only 3 or 4 days. Felt like she was gone for a while. And when she returned, I was very excited to have her back, and I remember sitting in my parents' driveway, and she drew with chalk the route that the roller coasters that she had been on took and how high up they went and when they went upside down. And it was just very exciting to have her back home and to hear about how her travels went. When we got older and we'd go off on summer trips with our families, we'd come back with souvenirs for each other. And that just demonstrates how, as we grew, our friendship grew. Eventually, I moved away to college. Here to Potsdam, here I am. And she also moved to college the following year in the opposite direction of me. So we were much farther apart than just one house away from each other. But we still reconnected in the summers and stayed in touch throughout the year. Then she moved to Spain after college, even farther away across the ocean. And her time in Spain was the longest time that we went without us seeing each other in the over decade-long time that we had been friends. We did our best to remain in touch, and when she returned to the States, I was so eager and excited to hear about her adventures and tell her about what I'd been doing since I was gone. She was at mine and Andrew's wedding, and she had left just the day after that. So in the year that she was gone, there was a lot of exciting updates for her. We've remained friends throughout this time. I'm not a perfect friend, but she loves me anyways, and she has remained my friend. And she's not a perfect friend, but she's super awesome, and I've remained her friend too. And through all of this, I have a clear example of what a loving friendship is like, and I'm so grateful to God for that. But Jesus, who knows all the ways I'm not perfect, besides in that friendship, all the ways, all the aspects of my life, all the sinfulness, the mistakes, the not-so-great stuff, he knows all of it, and he still chooses me. He still remains close to me. And the love that he has for me is deeper even than this deep, loving friendship that I know. And that's true for you, too. So all of the not-so-great stuff, Jesus knows that about you, and he loves you anyways. And any of the friendships or relationships that you have that feel like the most amazing and the most deep love, he loves you even more than that. And that's so amazing to me. And I'm grateful that because of my friend Alyssa and my other friends, I understand the value and significance of friendship. I hope you know that in your lives too, and know that Jesus values his friendship with you. We have seen in the example of this scripture, in his own words, about how Jesus is a friend. He's sincere. He lives out his commands that he gives us. He reveals his truth to us. He's loyal to us. He's always there. We didn't choose him. He chose us. So now we get to think about how awesome this all is. How do we apply it? And live it to our lot, live it like throughout our lives. How do we accept him as a friend? We're going to jump back into the passage and we're going to look at verses 14 and 17. So we're not really looking at these two verses in order, but I really love how clearly we can see what he's telling us when we look at these two verses together. So in verse 14, we see that we are his friends if we do what he commands. It says, you're my friends if you do what I command. In verse 17, we see that his greatest command is to love one another. This is my command, love each other. So taking verse 14 and verse 17, we are his friends if we do what he commands. His command is to love each other. Do what I command, love each other. To me, it just spells it out plain and simple. Love each other, and then we can be his friend. But it's not like we can be like, okay, Jesus, yes, I want to be your friend, so I will go and love people, and then we go out and we mess up and we make lots of mistakes and we actually end up hurting people because we're human, because that's what would happen. Instead, we have this example of how he went out and loved people and how we get to do that by following his example. He doesn't just leave us to test it out. He gives us a perfect example of how to follow his command throughout the Gospels. So I had lots of ideas of how we can see, well, not lots of ideas. Lots of places in the Bible show how Jesus loves people. It was hard to narrow it down. So I would encourage you, as you're reading through the Gospels or anytime you're reading the Bible, look at those examples of how Jesus loves others and think about how you can apply it to your life. He did set the ultimate example of dying on the cross for our sins, for all those who love him. He died on the cross. All those who love him can be forgiven. That is the ultimate example. But I just want to look today at a few examples of how we can follow his example and love well. I know I'm not called to die on the cross to save the sins of those who love him. I don't believe any of us here are. So we're going to look at examples of how we can apply it. One of the examples is Matthew 9:36. This verse gives example of loving well by having compassion. It says, When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Another way that we can love like Jesus is by loving our enemies. This is in Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We can also love like Jesus by selflessly serving others. This example in particular is one that has encouraged me, and it was hard to narrow it down to just a few examples. So I have two verses to share with us about how we can love like Jesus by selflessly serving others. The first one is Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. If it will come on the screen here. We're stuck on Luke 6:35, which is also a great verse, but that is one that I already read. Okay, so here's Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And the other example of serving others that I found was in John 13:12-14. And it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. A final example of how we can love like Jesus is by sharing God's love with others. This example, just one of the examples, is Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we have those examples, just a few examples of how we can love like Jesus. having compassion, loving our enemies, selflessly serving others, and sharing God's love with others. Those are just, like I said, a few examples. And they're also little verses that are taken out of bigger stories and taken out of context. So if any of those this morning are inspiring you, or maybe God is nudging you to think about how you can apply those to your life, I would encourage you to go back and read more about each of those verses. And the, like I said, the list I shared is not conclusive. I do want to encourage us with one final verse. It's 1 John 2, 5 through 6. And this one says, "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." So we've learned that, yes, we are a friend of Jesus if we follow his command. Jesus' greatest command is to love one another. Being a friend means that we accept him as our savior, but it doesn't end there. Then we live for him. And that's what I felt that 1 John 2, 5 through 6 summarizes for us, that we get to live in him, live for him. I'm, again, really glad that I got to share these examples with you this morning and share about why I'm grateful to know Jesus as a friend, and I hope it encourages you as well. I'd like to summarize by saying Jesus is our Savior, the Son of God. He has so much authority. His authority remains, and he reigns over us as King. That does not negate him from being a friend, from being right there with us, next to us, choosing us. He is the King, and he is our friend. And I'm glad to remind you, or let you know for the first time, that Jesus is a friend to you. So at this time, I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. But we're not going to stop here. We're going to enter into time of prayer, or just quiet reflection. And I'd like you to think about the question for yourself. Do you have a friendship with Jesus? Do you have a friend in Jesus? So maybe you've had a relationship with him. How can you continue to follow this example by loving him well and loving others well? And then if you want to start this relationship with him for the first time, I want you to know that he is welcoming you. He's excited to have you as a friend. He has already chosen you. And now you have the opportunity to choose him. And you have the chance to get to know him intimately. So if this is your first time wanting to accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and also wanting to get to know him as a friend, that is really exciting. And that is a huge step, a huge milestone to starting your faith journey. And we'd love to pray for you and help you through that, that saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to him as your Savior and as your friend. If you would like someone to pray with you for that, I'd be happy to. And Glenn, who is here this morning, would also be happy to pray with you as well. So I mentioned my husband Andrew's awesome. It looks like he put those final things on the screen. Oh, now it's gone again. Keeps me guessing. We're just going to take a few minutes and quietly pray about this, think about this. Do you have Jesus as a friend? Jesus, you are our Savior. You are the King of Kings. And you are a friend to us. I thank you that you chose us and you remain close to us. Help us to continue to understand the word you have for us and how we can live it out in our lives to glorify you, to love you well, and to love others well, and remain your friend. We thank you for this time, Lord. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.